Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Investing in Your 20s and 30s for Dummies, 3rd Edition, by Eric Tyson, MBA. Narrated by David Morantz. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to figures and tables present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Introduction. Investing offers so many possibilities and so many choices. Your young adult years, which at least for the purposes of this book I define as your 20s and 30s, are filled with so much promise and potential. Your career, your interests, your personal life, and your family and friends all compete for your time and attention. Most folks work upward of 2,000 hours per year earning a living. Managing the money that passes through their hands is an important task, one most people aren't trained to do. Earning money generally takes a lot of work. Managing your personal finances and saving money takes discipline and sacrifice. When you have money to invest, you want to do the best you can so you earn a decent return without ending up in failed investments. About this book. I designed and wrote this book to help you with the important and challenging task of investing. Your young adult years are a crucial and ideal time to lay the best foundation for investing wisely. After all, some of the investments you make now and in the near future will have decades to grow and multiply. I talk some simple numbers here to get you excited and motivated. Stocks in the United States historically have returned an average of about 9% per year. At that rate of return, you will double your money every 8 years. So in 16 years, your money will be up 4 times. In 24 years, your money will be up 8 times. And in 32 years, your money will be up 16 times. Wow! This means for every $1,000 you can invest in your 20s, you could have about 16 times that amount by your 50s and be on the road to financial independence. The more you can save and intelligently invest in your younger adult years, the quicker you will reach the land of financial independence. I've worked with and taught people from widely varying financial situations, so I know the investing concerns and questions of real folks just like you. I've seen how important having healthy and strong personal finances and investments is. I first became interested in money matters as a middle school student when my father was laid off from his employer and received some retirement money. I worked with my dad to make investing decisions with the money. A couple of years later, I won my high school science fair with a project on what influences the stock market. During my younger adult years, I worked hard to keep my living expenses low and to save and invest money so I could leave my job and pursue my entrepreneurial ideas. I accomplished that goal in my late 20s. I hope to give you some tools to help you make the most of your money and investments so you too can meet your goals and dreams. This book is basic enough to help a novice get their arms around thorny investing issues. But advanced readers will be challenged as well to think about their investments and finances in a new way and identify areas for improvement. Check out the table of contents for a chapter-by-chapter rundown of what this book offers. You can also look up a specific topic in the index. Or you can start at the beginning, Chapter 1. Foolish Assumptions. No matter what your current situation is, whether you're entering the job market right after high school, graduating college with substantial student loan debt, feeling pretty well established in your career, and so on, I thought of you as I wrote this book and made some assumptions about you. You want expert advice about important investing topics such as getting a pre-investing financial checkup, understanding the range of investments available, and assembling a killer investment portfolio. And you want that advice quickly. You want a crash course in investing and are looking for a book you can read cover to cover to help solidify major concepts and get you thinking about your investments in a more comprehensive way. You're tired of feeling overwhelmed by your investing choices and stressed out by the ever-changing economic and investing landscape, and you want to get more comfortable with your investment selections. Icons used in this book. The icons in this book help you find particular kinds of information that may be of use to you. Tip: this light bulb marks strategy recommendations for making the most of your investments. Remember: this icon points out information that you'll definitely want to remember. Warning: this icon marks things to avoid and points out common mistakes people make when making and managing their investments. Investigate: this icon tells you when you should consider doing some additional research. Don't worry, I explain what to look for and what to look out for. Beyond this book. In addition to the material in the print or ebook you're reading right now, this product comes with a free Access Anywhere cheat sheet that helps you get started with investing. To view this cheat sheet, simply go to dummies.com and enter "Investing in Your 20s and 30s for Dummies Cheat Sheet" in the search box. Where to go from here? This book is organized so you can go wherever you want to find complete information. You can use the table of contents to find broad categories of information or the index to look up more specific topics. If you're not sure where you want to go, you may want to start with Part 1. It gives you all the basic info you need to assess your financial and investing situation and points to places where you can find more detailed information for improving it. Part 1. Getting Started with Investing. In this part, define commonly used investing jargon, including explaining the different types of investments. Use investments to accomplish your goals, such as making larger purchases, buying a home, and investing for retirement. Understand expected investment returns and risks. See how investment returns are taxed and what you can legally do to minimize your taxes on your investments. Chapter 1. Making Sense of Your Investing Options. In this chapter, comparing common investments, explaining investment terminology, risks and returns, looking at the best investment companies and the rest, deciphering the gobbledygook of professionals and credentials. So many subject areas and disciplines are packed full of jargon. Some of this is the result of progress and advances, and some of it is caused by workers in the field not going out of their way to explain and define things. In this chapter, I give you the lay of the land regarding the enormous numbers of investment choices and foreign-sounding terminology that await you in the world of investing. I also explain the types of companies that offer investments and their strengths and weaknesses. And should you want to hire some investing help, I detail the various professionals pitching their services to you and the common credentials they hawk to convince you of their expertise. Growing your money in ownership investments. The most exciting thing about investing during your younger adult years is that you can be more aggressive with money that you've earmarked to help you accomplish long-term goals. To achieve typical longer-term financial goals, such as being financially independent, also known as retiring, the money that you save and invest generally needs to grow at a rate much faster than the rate of inflation. If you put your money in a bank account that pays little or no interest, for example, you're more likely to fall short of your goals. Ownership investments are investments like stocks where you own a piece of a company, real estate, or a small business that has the capability to generate revenue and profits. Over the long term, consider ownership investments if you want your money to grow much faster than the rate of inflation and don't mind more volatility in your investments' values. The downside to such investments is that they can fall more significantly in value than non-ownership investments, for example, bank accounts, bonds, and so on, especially in the short term. so don't put money into ownership investments that you may need to tap in the short term for rent money or your next vacation. To reduce the risk of ownership investments, diversify. That is, hold different types of ownership investments that don't move in tandem. I highlight three major ownership investments in the following sections: stocks, real estate, and small business. Sharing in corporate growth and profits, stocks. If you want the potential to share in the growth and profits of companies, you can gain it through buying shares of their stock. Stocks are shares of ownership in a company. You can buy stock directly in individual companies through a brokerage account, or you can buy a collection of stocks via a mutual fund or exchange-traded fund. See Chapter 10. If you've followed the financial markets at all over some time or have friends or family who have spoken to you about this, you may have heard of companies/stocks like Amazon, Apple, Chipotle, McDonald's, Microsoft, Netflix, Ross Stores, Tesla, Ulta Beauty, and so on. Those who bought and held stocks like these made big returns over the past decade. Remember, though, that we're saying and seeing this now with the benefit of hindsight, looking in the rearview mirror. And I'm sure you know that the future will be different than the past, so running out and buying these stocks now is far less likely to make you a mint going forward. Now, what if I told you I've invested in and made good money in all of these stocks over the past decade? The fact is I have, but I never personally chose any of these particular stocks. I've owned these stocks and numerous other good companies and their stocks through mutual funds I've invested in. Of course, it's impossible for any fund manager to only have a portfolio of the best winners or winners in general. Some of their stock picks will be mediocre and others worse. Remember, you don't need to be a business genius to make money in stocks. Stocks in the United States, for example, have returned an average of 9% per year over the past 2+ centuries. That may not sound like a high return, but at that rate of return, your money will double every 8 years. Simply make regular and systematic investments and invest in proven companies and funds while minimizing your investment expenses and taxes. Of course, there's no guarantee that every stock or stock fund that you buy will increase in value. In Chapter 8, I explain proven and time-tested methods for making money in stocks. Profiting from real estate. You don't need to be a big shot to make money investing in real estate. Owning and managing real estate is like running a small business. You need to satisfy customers, tenants, manage your costs, keep an eye on the competition, and so on. Some methods of real estate investing require more time than others, but many are proven ways to build wealth. Historically, investment real estate has produced annual returns comparable to investing in stocks. Among the key attributes of private real estate investment are the following. You build wealth through your rental income exceeding your expenses and through property value appreciation. You can leverage your investment by borrowing money. You must be comfortable dealing with property management, which includes finding and retaining tenants and keeping up and possibly improving your property. This last point is super important. Buying and managing investment real estate is time intensive. Those whom I've seen succeed investing in real estate actually enjoy the challenge and work involved. And over time, you can hire people to help you with managing properties if you don't want to spend so much time personally at it. See Chapter 12 for the details on investing in real estate. Succeeding in small business. I know people who have hit investing home runs by owning or buying businesses. Most people work full-time at running their businesses, increasing their chances of doing something big financially with them. Investing in the stock market, by contrast, tends to be more part-time in nature. In addition to the financial rewards, however, small business owners can enjoy seeing the impact of their work and knowing that it makes a difference. I can speak from first-hand experience, as can other small business owners, in saying that emotionally and financially, entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. Besides starting your own company, you can share in the economic rewards of the entrepreneurial world through buying an existing business or investing in someone else's budding enterprise. See Chapter 14 for more details. Making riskier choices, options, cryptocurrencies, and so on. I know from my many interactions with younger adults these days that there are some exciting and enticing vehicles such as call options and cryptocurrencies. It's easy to get drawn into such things when you hear a story or two about someone hitting it big. I'm certainly open to you taking sensible risks, and the fact of the matter is that the highest returning investment vehicles I discuss in this book do indeed carry notable risks. But options and cryptocurrencies carry enormous risks and actually far less upside than what many people believe or realize. Rest assured that at relevant places in this book I cover these other types of vehicles, especially in Chapter 15, but please know that these are generally vehicles you should stay away from. Keeping money in lending investments. In the first section of this chapter, Growing Your Money in Ownership Investments, I outline how you can make your dough grow much faster than the cost of living by using stocks, real estate, and small business. However, you may want or need to play it safer when investing money for shorter-term purposes, so you should then consider lending investments. Many people use such investments through local banks, such as in a checking account, savings account, or certificate of deposit. In all of these cases with a bank, you're lending your money to the bank. Another lending investment is bonds. When you purchase a bond that has been issued by the government or a company, you agree to lend your money for a predetermined period of time and receive a particular rate of interest. A corporate bond may pay you 4% interest annually over the next 10 years, for example. An investor's return from lending investments is typically limited to the original investment plus interest payments. If you lend your money to a company through one of its bonds that matures in, say, 5 years, and the firm doubles its revenue and profits over that period, you won't share in its growth. The company's stockholders are likely to reap the rewards of the company's success, but as a bondholder, you don't. You simply get interest and the face value of the bond back at maturity. Similar to bank savings accounts, money market mutual funds are another type of lending investment. Money market mutual funds generally invest in ultra-safe things, such as short-term bank certificates of deposit, U.S. government-issued treasury bills, and commercial paper, short-term bonds, that the most creditworthy corporations issue. Warning! Many people keep too much of their money in lending investments, thus allowing others to enjoy the rewards of economic growth. Although lending investments appear safer because you know in advance what return you'll receive, they aren't that safe. The long-term risk of these seemingly safe money investments is that your money will grow too slowly, perhaps not even keeping you ahead of or even with the rate of inflation, to enable you to accomplish your personal financial goals. In the worst cases, the company or other institution to which you are lending money can go under and fail to repay your loan. Understanding risks and returns. Who among us wants to lose money? Of course you don't. You put your money in an investment in the hope and expectation that you will get back more in total than you put in. And you'd rather your chosen investments not fluctuate too widely in value. When it comes to investing, no concepts are more important to grasp than risk and return, which I explain in this section. Realizing risks. The investments that you expect to produce higher returns, such as stocks, fluctuate more in value, particularly in the short term. However, if you attempt to avoid all the risks involved in investing, you probably won't succeed, and you likely won't be happy with your investment results and lifestyle. In the investment world, Some people don't go near stocks or real estate that they perceive to be volatile, for example. As a result, such investors often end up with lousy long-term returns and expose themselves to some high risks that they overlooked, such as the risk of inflation and taxes eroding the purchasing power of their money. You can't live without taking risks. Risk-free activities or ways of living don't exist. You can sensibly minimize risks, but you can never eliminate them. Some methods of risk reduction aren't palatable because they reduce your quality of life. Risks are also composed of several factors. Following are the major types of investment risks and a few of the methods you can use to reduce these risks while not missing out on the upside that investments offer. Market value risk. Although stocks can help you build wealth, they can also drop 20% or more in a relatively short period of time. Entering 2020, who was thinking about how a pandemic and the government's response might impact stock prices? Then, in a few weeks, stocks slid more than 30% due to government-mandated economic shutdowns. Although real estate, like stocks, has been a rewarding long-term investment, various real estate markets get clobbered from time to time. Individual investment risk. A down market can put an entire investment market on a roller coaster ride, but healthy markets also have their share of individual losers. Just as individual stock prices can plummet, so can individual real estate property prices. Warning. With lending investments, you have a claim on a specific amount of a currency. Occasionally, currencies falter. Most folks ignore this low-frequency but very high-impact risk when thinking about lending investments. Purchasing power risk. Inflation, which is an increase in the cost of living, can erode the value of your money and its purchasing power, what you can buy with that money. I often see skittish investors keep their money in bonds and money market accounts, thinking that they're playing it safe. The risk in this strategy is that your money won't grow enough over the years for you to accomplish your financial goals. In other words, the lower the return you earn, the more you need to save to reach a financial goal. As a younger investor with so many years and decades of investing in your future, you need to pay the most attention to the risk of generating low returns. Liquidity risk. Some investments are more liquid, how quickly an investment can be converted to cash, than others, and more readily sold at fair market value on short notice. Bank savings accounts have no real liquidity risk. A real estate investment, by contrast, takes time and money to sell, and if you must sell most real estate quickly, you'll likely get a fair amount less than its current full market value. Career risk. In your 20s and 30s, your ability to earn money is probably your biggest asset. Education is a lifelong process. If you don't periodically invest in your education, you risk losing your competitive edge. Your skills and perspectives can become dated and obsolete. Although that doesn't mean you should work 80 hours a week and never do anything fun, it does mean that part of your work time should involve upgrading your skills. Managing risks. Throughout this book, as I discuss various investments, I explain how to get the most out of each one. Because I've introduced the important issue of risk in this chapter, I would be remiss if I also didn't give you some early ideas about how to minimize those risks. Here are some simple steps you can take to lower the risk of investments that can upset the achievement of your goals. Do your homework. When you purchase real estate, various inspections, for example, can save you from buying a money pit. With stocks, you can examine some measures of value and the company's financial condition and business strategy to reduce your chances of buying into an overpriced company or one on the verge of major problems. Diversify. Placing significant amounts of your capital in one or a handful of securities is risky, particularly if the stocks are in the same industry or closely related industries. To reduce this risk, purchase stocks in a variety of industries and companies within each industry. Even better is buying diversified mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. Diversifying your investments can involve more than just your stock portfolio. You can also hold some real estate investments to diversify your investment portfolio. Tip: if you worry about the health of the U.S. economy, the government, and the dollar, you can reduce your overall investment risk by also investing overseas so that you have a globally diversified portfolio of stocks. Most large U.S. companies do business overseas, so when you invest in larger U.S. company stocks, you get some international investment exposure. You can also invest in international company stocks, ideally through funds. Minimize holdings in costly markets. Although I don't believe that most investors can time the markets, buy low, sell high, spotting a greatly overpriced market isn't too difficult. You should avoid overpriced investments because when they usually fall farther and faster than more fairly priced investments. Also, you should be able to find other investments that offer higher potential returns. Throughout this book, I explain some simple yet powerful methods you can use to measure whether a particular investment market is of fair value, of good value, or overpriced. View market declines in a different light. Instead of seeing declines and market corrections as horrible things, view them as potential opportunities or sales. If you pass up the stock and real estate markets simply because of the potential market value risk, you miss out on a historic, time-tested method of building substantial wealth. Try not to give in to the human emotions that often scare people away from buying something that others seem to be shunning. Making sense of returns. Each investment has its own mix of associated risks that you take when you part with your investment dollar, and likewise offers a different potential rate of return. When you make investments, you have the potential to make money in a variety of ways. To determine how much money you've made or lost on your investment, you calculate the total return. To come up with this figure, you determine how much money you originally invested and then factor in the other components, such as interest, dividends, and appreciation or depreciation. If you've ever had money in a bank account that pays interest, you know that the bank pays you a small amount of interest in exchange for your allowing the bank to keep your money. The bank then turns around and lends your money to some other person or organization at a much higher rate of interest. The rate of interest is also known as the yield. So if a bank tells you that its savings account pays 1.5% interest, the bank may also say that the account yields 1.5%. Banks usually quote interest rates or yields on an annual basis. Interest that you receive is one component of the return you receive on your investment. If a bank pays monthly interest, the bank also likely quotes a compounded effective annual yield. After the first month's interest is credited to your account, that interest starts earning interest as well. So the bank may say that the account pays 1.5%, which compounds to an effective annual yield of 1.53%. When you lend your money directly to a company, which is what you do when you invest in a bond that a corporation issues, you also receive interest. Bonds, as well as stocks, which are shares of ownership in a company, fluctuate in market value after they're issued. When you invest in a company's stock, you hope that the stock increases, appreciates in value. Of course, a stock can also decline or depreciate in value. This change in market value is part of your return from a stock or bond investment. Stocks can also pay dividends, which are the company's way of sharing some of its profits with you as a stockholder, and thus are part of your return. Some companies, particularly those that are small or growing rapidly, choose to reinvest all their profits back into the company. Remember, unless you held your investments in a tax-sheltered retirement account, you owe taxes on your return. Specifically, the dividends and investment appreciation that you realize upon selling are taxed, although often at relatively low rates. The tax rates on so-called long-term capital gains and stock dividends are currently and historically lower than the tax rates on other income. I discuss the different tax rates that affect your investments and explain how to make tax-wise
Sample complete. Ready to continue?